Thanks for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms and we serve in the City of Joy. If you would like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you enjoy today's message.
You can find beauty everywhere on earth, even in the desert, where it seems like nothing could live. You can hear birds singing and see cactus blooms the color of a sunset. The earth is good. The Bible says,
"And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good."
Even though there's evil in the world, God's creation belongs to God.
The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it.
And among the reasons God made us,
he put us on earth in order that we might take care of it.
Paying careful attention to all things great and small.
If you come across a bird's nest with young ones or eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young.
So loving God means following his biblical command that we care for his creation.
Good morning. What a great joy to be together this Sunday morning. And this service is going to be a little different. Now, we say that almost every Sunday. That's the good part. This Sunday is what is called Eco Sunday. Can you tell that to your neighbor? Eco Sunday. Now, what that means, I want us to be ready for this. When we think about following Christ, all that usually we have in mind is this. Come to church. Read the Bible. Pray. Share about Jesus to others. Be good to people around us. Okay, so if you do all these five things, you think, oh yeah, I'm a good Christ follower. And these five and maybe one or two items more, and we feel we have accomplished our role as a good Christ follower. Our calling from God as a Christ follower, we usually limit to a spiritual box. We think everything related to our spiritual aspects of our life is what it means to follow Christ, which we, the spiritual box we carry into the church. We open it sometimes during our care group, our personal prayer times. It doesn't impact any other area of our lives. Meanwhile, the world outside may have a lot of other concerns, but we don't have time to deal with it because we are very busy working on other boxes in our lives, career box, family box, lunch box, entertainment box. But we did not realize that God's calling on our lives is not just to carry a spiritual box, but open our eyes to realize the sad reality of the world outside. And I say world outside, not just Park Street, not just Kolkata, but the entire globe. As we sit here right now at 8:36 on June 23rd, 2019, the shocking facts of the world outside, get ready for this. The world has already lost 80% of its forests, and we continue losing them at a rate of 375 kilometers per day. Wow. At the current rate of deforestation, they say 5 to 10% of tropical forest species will become extinct. They'll be gone every decade. Every hour, by the time you leave this place, at around 9:30, 1692 acres of productive dry land becomes desert. Every hour. We have a garbage island floating in our ocean. Do you realize that? Mostly comprised of plastics. And this garbage island is a pretty big one. It's the size of India, Europe, and Mexico combined. Can you believe that? And the last one, we are using up around 50% of more natural resources than Earth can provide. At our current population, we need 1.5 Earth. One Earth is not enough, but we do not have that. And so as we worship here, it's wonderful we worship here. We sing songs to praise. But sooner or later, when we step out, there may not be Earth to walk on. So we need to do something about it. And this morning, I want us to remind ourselves of Genesis chapter 1, God's call to Adam and Eve, all the way back in the opening of the Bible story in chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, the Lord God, let's read it together. Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and took care of it. This is God's foundational text of stewardship of the earth. We are called to it. God's call to care for creation in the Bible. And not just in Genesis, but we see God's call to the people of Israel. We see right through the Old Testament, God invites people to take care of the earth, take care of the poor around them. And even interestingly, in the New Testament, you remember the passage of Jesus with his disciples. And they just had the whole experience of feeding the 5,000. And after they fed the 5,000, John chapter 6, it's interesting, there was extra food. And Jesus told the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. Wow. Just a good reminder from Jesus. Listen to us this morning. God's call to us as Christ followers is to get out of our spiritual boxes, actively care for his creation. Be faithful stewards of God's earth. Our passionate spirituality must inspire us to faithful stewardship. If we love Jesus, we must care for God's earth. Today we have dedicated our Sunday to God's calling for us to care for creation. It's Eco Sunday. There is no time to waste. If we were to look into the future, if there was a message that was sent to the next generation, I wonder if this message would go something like what's on the video.
Dear future generations, I think I speak for the rest of us when I say, sorry. Sorry we left you with our mess of a planet. Sorry that we were too caught up in our own doings to do something. Sorry we listened to people who made excuses to do nothing. I hope you forgive us. We just didn't realize how special the earth was, like a marriage gone wrong. We didn't know what we had until it was gone. For example, I'm guessing you probably know it as the Amazon Desert, right? Well, believe it or not, it was once called the Amazon Rainforest, and there were billions of trees there, all of them gorgeous, and... Oh, you don't know much about trees, do you? Well, let me tell you, trees are amazing. I mean, we literally breathe the air they are creating. They clean up our pollution, our carbon. They store and purify water, give us medicine that cures our diseases, food that feeds us, which is why I'm so sorry to tell you that we burn them down. Cut them down with brutal machines, horrific, at a rate of 40 football fields every minute. That's 50% of all the trees in the world gone in the last 100 years. Why? For this. And that wouldn't make me so sad if it weren't so many pictures of leaves on it. You know, when I was a child, I read how the Native Americans had such consideration for the planet that they felt responsible for how they left the land for the next 7 generations. Which brings me great sorrow, because most of us today don't even care about tomorrow. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we put profit above people, greed above need, the rule of gold above the golden rule. I'm sorry we use nature as a credit card with no spending limit, overdrafting animals to extinction, stealing your chance to ever see their uniqueness or become friends with them. Sorry we poison the ocean so much that you can't even swim in them. But most of all, I'm sorry about our mindset. Because we had the nerve to call this destruction progress. Hey, Fox News, if you don't think climate change is a threat, I dare you to interview the thousands of homeless people in Bangladesh. See, while you were in your penthouse nestled, their homes were literally washed away beneath their feet due to rising sea levels. And Sarah Palin, you said that you love the smell of fossil fuels. Well, I urge you to talk to the kids of Beijing who are forced to wear pollution masks just to go to school. See, you can ignore this, but the thing about truth is, it can be denied, not avoided. So I'm sorry, future generations. I'm sorry that our footprint became a sinkhole and not a garden. I'm sorry that we paid so much attention to ISIS and very little to how fast the ice ices melting in the Arctic. I'm sorry we doomed you, and I'm sorry we couldn't find another planet in time to move to. I am, you know what? Cut the beat. I'm not sorry. This future, I do not accept it, because an error does not become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We can redirect this. How? Let me suggest that if a farmer sees a tree that is unhealthy, they don't look at the branches to diagnose it, they look at the root. So like that farmer, we must look at the root, and not to the branches of government, not to the politicians run by corporations. We are the root, we are the foundation. This generation, it is up to us to take care of this planet. It is our only home. We must globally warm our hearts and change the climate of our souls and realize that we are not apart from nature, we are a part of nature. And to betray nature is to betray us. To save nature is to save us. Because whatever you're fighting for, racism or poverty, feminism, gay rights, or any type of equality, it won't matter in the least. Because if we don't all work together to save the environment, we will be equally extinct. Sorry.
Wonder how the future generation will talk to us in the previous generation. But this day, we have an opportunity. As we stand here on how we can change our today. Philip and I, we're going to have a conversation right here on... it's great to have God's call to care for creation. But what does it look like, Pastor Philip, when we walk out of this place? Tell us some practical steps on what does it mean to really be eco-friendly, to care for creation.
So here are five simple steps to leave an ecological footprint on our world today. Beginning with the first one is to refuse what you don't need.
Refuse what you don't need. Can you tell that to your neighbor? Now, what do we refuse, sir?
So let me explain this right here. How many of us have had this experience of walking along a footpath or a pavement, and there's a guy standing there distributing flyers, and somehow his hand gets in the way and you pick up a flyer. You walk a couple of footsteps down and then you realize, consciously or subconsciously, you crush the paper and you just throw it. Okay, let's start by beginning right there. Refuse to take it. Let's look at another example. If you go home and if you search in your kitchen, probably behind the door, you'll find probably a bag or maybe more than two bags filled with more plastic bags. You name the color, you name the texture, name the quality, it's there in that bag. Okay, how many of you can relate with that? Yes? So when you have that there, you know, when you go to a grocery shop and the guy is giving you a bag, you can always refuse to take a bag. You can always refuse that. Wow. So refuse what you don't need.
Wow, that's interesting. So refuse extra use of plastic? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, like the throwaway cutlery that comes along with your Zomato or Swiggy or something like that. You can start by refusing that.
Oh, wow. Great. What's the next step?
Well, the next step is to reduce what you do need.
Reduce what you do need. Okay.
You see, the balance is finding out the difference between your wants and your need. Economics teaches us that we are socially wanting animals. We keep wanting things all the time. And, you know, there's a difference between what we want and what we need. You see, when we focus on what we do need, you know, we realize that if we moderate ourselves a tiny bit, we will learn how to reduce what we do need. For instance, water. Water in our houses. We all need it, but we all waste twice the amount of what we need. A recent study suggests that by 2040, there will be no drinking water in almost all of the country in
wow.
India.
Oh, this reminds me around 18%. Our country is around 18% of the total population of the world, yet our country just has 4% of the fresh water available globally. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, so the thing is, you know, we can look at those statistics and say, oh, well, that's out there. But if you actually look at it carefully, it's coming home soon. Think about the water problem in Chennai. People are facing a huge water crisis. Think about the drought that is spread over many parts of North India. Farmers committing suicide because there's no water for their crops. And even as we sit here by the clock, it's coming home closer and closer. And you know, that's why we need to reduce what we do need. Just use how much we need. You know, that extra time of you putting the soap on your hands when you're standing at the sink and the tap is running, you can start by just locking the tap and opening it only when you are ready to use the water.
Okay, Pastor Philip, thank you so much. But this is all very convicting. I mean, we don't do all this all the time. Can we? I know it's a difficult step. There are three more steps coming, but the first two, can we start thinking about it? Yes. Refuse. Okay, let's say it together. Refuse what you don't need. Reduce what you do need. Okay, what is the next one?
The third step is reusing, to reuse by using what you already have.
Wow, now reuse, okay, let's say it again. Reuse by using what you have. Now, that's a nice nursery rhyme, but how do you do that?
Well, here's how you can do it. I know it sounds a bit complex, but it's really very simple. It's making the most of what you already have before you try and get something new. If you were to look at the waste sections in our homes, you would realize that there are many items that can be reused. Plastic bottles, jars that can be of great storage space, but they are lying there just to be tossed into the bin, and we don't even do it soon. Clothes that have been lying in your closet and you haven't used them for over 2 years, but they're still there. It's a known fact that you will not use them anymore. So it's best that you give it to someone who can make use of it. And even the old clothes can be turned into something useful in the house, like rags or swabs or something that can be used. But we need to get in the habit of reusing what we already have and make the most out of what God has already blessed us with.
Thank you, Pastor Philip. But there is some trash in my house and probably in yours that cannot be reused. What do you do with that?
Well, that brings us to our fourth step, where you can recycle what you can.
Okay, that's good. That's a new word. Fourth one. Everyone say, recycle what you can. Okay, now this, I guess it's not about cycles, but explain what it is.
Exactly. It's not really about cycles, but there is a vicious cycle if we don't realize it already. The advertising world prods on our want. Okay, the more we want, the more they advertise, the more there is a supply, the more we buy, and that just keeps going on and on and on. But there are also very great and good ad campaigns that are there in the city, that are there, and there are DIY projects which are there online, do-it-yourself projects, where you can take stuff that is trash and cannot be reused to kind of make it useful. There are different projects that are there, and you know what? I'm going to throw open an invitation here. There are different organizations that are willing to take your trash. Okay, this is news for some of you. They are willing to take your trash and recycle so it is of good use.
Wow.
So, you know, if in your offices, for those of you who work in the corporate sector, if in your offices there's waste paper, there's waste plastic, pens, refills, things like that, which you probably have just stocked up, you know, and is not being recycled. In your homes, if there's newspaper piled up, you know, we know of places and people that will be very happy to rid you of that. And they'll be happy to put that to use and recycle what is waste in our homes.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Anything else? What's the fifth step?
The fifth step is to repurpose our lifestyle.
Repurpose your lifestyle. Can you tell that to your neighbor?
You know, Pastor Jacob, the damage that has already been done to our ecosystem is close to irreversible. But yet for all, like most healing, there are no quick fixes. It's a process. Turning off the tap, making sure that the garbage that you throw ends up in the bin and not just outside, it's a lifestyle choice. It's developing a continuous habit. There's so many times when I'm on my way to work and I see some great cars in the city, good cars. But what I also see, and sometimes that breaks my heart, is to see how kids, sometimes grown-up adults, will toss things out of the car while they're on their way, and they just litter it. It's interesting to think of the fact that when God placed man, and when he created Adam and Eve, he placed them in the first place was a garden. Right. And Genesis 2:15 says that they were placed to work it and to take care of it. But I feel many of us behave like visitors in the garden and not people who are stewards, people who own the garden.
Wow, thank you so much, Pastor Philip. So these are five amazing action steps. Are we ready to rehearse them together? Okay, here we go. The first, all five will come together. Can you bring it up together on the screen? Okay, now we want you to share these five, okay, for your own personal benefits and share it on social media. The reason we do it is people will ask you, are you following it? Then you can start practicing it. So it's going to be a work in progress for all of us, but let's do it together. Okay, are you ready for this? Reduce what you don't need. Refuse what you don't need. Reduce what you do need. Recycle what we can. Reuse by using what we have. Repurpose our lifestyle. Wow. Can we do that? Yes, thank you so much. Give a big hand to Pastor Philip for this 5 hours.
Give them both a hand, friends. I thought that was amazing, right? Some of you are saying, Pastor, I wish we could, you could preach like that every Sunday. I just am so impressed with this presentation. Some years ago, Time Magazine published this provocative statement. And it said this, perhaps some of you are familiar with it. It said, no one can say exactly what it looks like when a planet takes ill, but it probably looks a lot like Earth. You know what they're saying? People who have studied this spent many, many hours, some of them invest their lifetime making this diagnosis. They're saying our earth is sick. And I know what some of you may be saying, Pastor, this is church. Why should I be caring about all this? Isn't this the problem of the government? What does it have to do with me? And that's why I'm here, because some of us may think, this is not very spiritual. I just have two questions that I want us to think about briefly. And then we will close. The first is the why question. Why should I care about the state of the earth? Two reasons. First of all, because our God, your God and my God cares. You heard that in that beautiful video. Let me remind you, Psalm 24:1, God says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. God created everything, and he designed creation to reveal his glory. One of the United States' greatest president, Abraham Lincoln, said this. He said, when he looked at the sky filled with the stars, I don't know how many of you have felt that. I have felt that even before I came to Christ. He said, when I looked at the sky filled with stars, I felt like I was looking at the face of God. And I like this beautiful quote from Lincoln. He says, I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how we could look up into the heavens and say there is no God. Earth is God's gift to us human beings. It's our home. This planet is our home, to be nourished so we can enjoy its wealth and beauty. And God has entrusted its stewardship to us. He trusts us to care for his creation. This is a sacred trust. Does God care for his creation. There are some who think, you know, maybe God created the world and then just left it to run on its own. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, and I'm reading selectively from Psalm 65, verses 9 to 11. Please read those phrases with me. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. You drench the plowed ground with rain. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Yes, my friends, God cares deeply about his creation, and he expects you and me to do likewise. Why should we care about the state of the earth? Because God cares. Secondly, as we've heard already, beautifully articulated by our friends, Pastor Jacob and Pastor Philip, the reason we should care about the state of the earth is because our earth is in bad shape. I mean, if you walk into your home and it's in a mess, unless you're dysfunctional as a human being, you want to clear it up. God has made us responsible for the earth, for his creation. In greed, we have exploited it, trashed and abused what God entrusted to us. I don't have time to expand on this, but I'm just illustrating, right? All of you have heard of global warming. Global warming, very simply put, is how human activity across the planet, our industries, fuel emissions, etc., have produced toxic gases which have created a huge bubble around the earth. This bubble traps the sun's heat and raises global temperatures. And people who study these things tell us that global climate is crashing around us. You've experienced it, haven't you? Right now, our summers are becoming worse by the year. This is why. And this is what causes heat waves, hurricanes, natural fires, earthquakes, so on and so forth, global warming. Not only that, we were reminded today about Earth's diminishing resources. Friends, there is a limited capacity even to our massive Earth. Pastor Jacob told us 1.5 Earths is what we really need to maintain the present lifestyle that we have on the planet. The global water crisis, they highlighted. The energy fuel resources, coal, petrol and natural gas. You know, we put on the switch, electricity comes. We go to the petrol bunk, we get fuel. They say it will be depleted in another 10 years. Why? In many parts of the industrialized world, in Europe, Britain, people are actually, responsible citizens are starting to walk more and cycle more. This is the reason. Waste and pollution. The figures are staggering, to say the least. They tell us that human beings produce 3.5 million tons of garbage each day. Each day. And in Calcutta, nobody needs to tell us about air pollution. We breathe it every day. But what you may not realize it, not to be alarmist, is that they're discovering that air pollution is the cause of birth defects, stillborn babies, premature births, and even infants dying. We've heard about deforestation. Right? We could go on and on. Simply to say that the problem is serious. The crisis is critical. Our planet appears to be dying. That is why an informed publication like Time makes that provocative declaration. No one can say exactly what it looks like when a planet takes ill, but it probably looks a lot like Earth. Why should we care about the state of the Earth? Because our God cares, and because Earth, our home, is in bad shape. But very quickly, what can I do about the state of the Earth? Some of us might feel like, hey, I'm just a speck, this massive planet Earth. Thank you, Pastor Jacob, Pastor Philip, for giving us those five action steps. But I want to put that in broader context in these closing remarks. Just three things that should be the foundation for us as we, in practical terms, commit to those five steps. The first, believe it or not, is to worship the God of all creation. Worship. This is not disconnected. Caring for the earth, friends, is not disconnected from our devotional life, from our worship. Which is why Psalm 148 is what we began with this morning. Right? It'll come back up. We won't read every word. But if you notice, in calling people to praise and worship God, the psalmist includes creation. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, you waters above the skies. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, etc., etc. In other words, God says, everything that I've created for my pleasure and glory. It's mine. And I've given it to you to enjoy, to benefit from, not to exploit, to rape and ravage. So friends, as we make worship the foundation of our lives, let's keep reflecting on God's creation and what it tells us about God, His beauty, His power, His majesty, His greatness. Whichever small patch of this earth's or the planet that God gives to you, it may be a 400 square foot apartment. It may be oversight of a massive corporate. Whatever God gives you to tend, take care. Let your goal be, Lord, I want this patch of my universe to reflect your beauty, power, majesty, and greatness. That's the first thing. Worship the God of all creation. Secondly, care for and value God's creation. Genesis 2:15, you've heard it at least twice earlier in the service, where God takes a man and woman and puts them in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. You know, we all hear about the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Someone has called this the First Commission. God wants us to enjoy His gift of creation. And how do we enjoy His gift of creation? Write this down, or at least add it as a preface to those five steps Pastor Jacob and Pastor Philip gave to us. Let's live healthy and wholesome lives. How do we care for and value God's creation? Eat wisely. Rest and exercise. Pastor, what does that have to do with ecology? You know, when you're healthy, you eat well, you don't overeat. And when you don't overeat, you stay healthy. When you exercise, you stay healthy. Illness of the individual will eventually impact the space around us. Develop good habits and encourage others to do so. Yeah. Smoking, drinking, drugs, many other habits which are harmful to health. Let's be outspoken, friends, not to try and impose it on others, but let's be candid in sharing. The media is, right? The media puts it up boldly. Smoking kills. So if you have friends, occasionally remind them. Don't judge them, but remind them. Be careful of too much TV, too much social media, phone. Good habits. Control wastage. We heard that. 21st century human beings perhaps are the most wasteful of all time, whether it's food, water, fuel, electricity, paper. Fix leaking taps. Close them. Turn out, turn off lights, we're not in use. You see, when you think about it, stewardship of the earth comes down to very simple, basic things. Recycle. So, what can I do? Worship the God of all creation, care for and value God's creation. I've only just opened the door to possibilities. And thirdly, finally, be an effective witness. Pastor, what do you mean? Keep your own home and to the extent you have influence, your neighborhood clean. And encourage others to do so. Be someone who is a positive influence for cleanliness, hygiene, and responsible creation care in your sphere of influence. Not only are you helping the environment, not only are you advancing creation care, you know what? It helps you earn respect in the community. And who knows, it might even help you create a bridge with neighbors, friends who don't know the Lord. Why are you doing this? Number one, because I'm a responsible citizen. Number two, because I love God and this is part of His world. Follow? Oh, really? Yes. You follow? It creates a bridge for effective witness. Not only that, share Jesus. Pastor, what has sharing Jesus got to do with ecology? Everything, friends. For as the Jesus movement grows, and I'm not talking about just anybody who bears the name Christian or Jesus, but I'm talking about discipleship. And as people come under the Lordship of Christ, they will hear commands like this that God gives to us. Be responsible in caring for God's world. Guess what? We expand the movement for a better future for our children. True God lovers must love and care for God's creation. Make no mistake, my brothers and sisters, we are completely dependent on the earth, aren't we? For food, for water, for air. If we abuse the earth, we harm ourselves. We hurt ourselves. For human life is closely connected to the rest of creation. Inextricably connected to the rest of creation. Somebody has said a greedy humanity will lead to a suffering earth. And a suffering earth will lead eventually to a suffering humanity. So let's not abuse the earth. A powerful challenge that we heard from that video. If we continue to abuse the earth, your children, my grandchildren, will inherit a world that's impossible to live in. Because we have selfishly exploited it. Not only that, when we exploit God's creation, we offend the glory of God. And God will hold us accountable for insulting His glory. So friends, if people out there need to be aware of creation care, more so we, as God's children who hold very high a commitment to God's glory. This is our Father's world. This is our home. As responsible citizens of our world and Christ followers, let's make a commitment to take care of it, shall we?
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. We would also be grateful if you would take a moment to rate us on iTunes. Hope you have a great week ahead.